Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
You are listening to the Smuggler's Galaxy podcast, my favorite podcast to listen to on long flights across the galaxy.
This is the way.
We want it, men.
Welcome to episode 170, or what are we on, three this time? Because we just recorded. Okay, so this is 173 of the Smuggler's Galaxy podcast. We recorded 172 5 minutes ago, because next week is Christmas.
This week is Christmas.
This week is Christmas. So Merry
Christmas. Christmas was yesterday. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. So tune in next week to hear our Christmas presents.
Yeah, you're not going to get those this week.
No, we're not going to get them this week. We'll get them next. We got them yesterday, but then we'll report about them next week. As confusing as that is.
Yeah.
But it's, yeah.
Everything that's not happening now is happening now.
Yes.
When will then be now?
Next soon. Week. Soon, don't you know? So last episode, I talked about picking up a bunch of blind boxes for Micro Galaxy Squadron.
Yes.
And during the break, I went downstairs and looked.
Yes.
Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, man. Now I got to find another Ewok.
Once you said Captain Rex, I went, that was Captain Rex.
Yeah, so he's Chase.
Found the Chase. It's pretty cool.
How was your week last week?
Same as it was 5 minutes ago. It was okay. I got,
for improv.
You wouldn't believe it, dude. I got a Sabine TIE fighter.
Wow. You went all the way up to Canada for that?
Yes, I went all the way up to Canada and found it sitting in an H&E.
How was Niagara Falls?
Niagara Falls was great. Jim and Pam were there. They got married.
Nice.
Got to see a wedding. Kind of
cold for that.
Yeah. It's just a few years outdated.
Buffalo might be covered in snow.
Right. What else did I? Huh?
Go Bills.
Go Bills. Yeah. I went down Niagara Falls in a bucket or barrel. Do people still do that?
Barrel. No, they don't do that anymore. It's pretty illegal to do that. Have you ever been to Niagara Falls?
No, I haven't.
It is scary, the power of that. And you could just see the current just blowing towards the falls. Like, it is a strong current. And if you get into that water, you're gone. There's no hope for you.
Well, I know, I grew up in Louisiana, as the people that don't know about that, but you cross over the Mississippi River pretty regular when you're going out of town or going to New Orleans and stuff. And you realize how powerful water is, you know, when you see that current and you see that, you know, a boat has to start, you know, if they're crossing the river, they have to start way to the left to make it to the right so that they're not fighting the current as they're crossing. Yeah. And back in the day when they had the Georgia Dome here, not the Georgia Dome had like a tent over it, had like
it's a fabric dome,
fabric covering on it. And fabric-ish. There was a really heavy,
fabric-ish.
Yes. So it wasn't a typical steel. It was some kind of fabric or very strong fabric or whatever.
It's a pressurized dome.
Was it?
I think so. At least the one in Syracuse is like, that's how they keep the fabric pushed up, is because the pressure inside pushes like a balloon.
Oh, well, you're the construction guy, so you know more about that stuff than
I'm an architect. I designed the Georgia Dome. So if you have any more specific questions about the Georgia Dome, I can answer those for you.
Oh, awesome. But anyway, long story short, there was a really bad rain, and like rain had, some water had collected on part of the dome and busted it. And I was at like the next game or something. And once the water had fallen, it had like broken seats away and stuff. So you don't realize the power of water until you see something like that. And you're, it, you know, yeah, water's some pretty powerful stuff.
It's crazy powerful.
Yeah.
I think about it every time I flush a toilet. Yeah, I just did lines of coke all week. That was my week.
Is that why you're all jumpy now?
That's why I'm all jumpy. I didn't have any money for Star Wars stuff. I was doing illegal things. Jesus. Anybody who knows me in person knows that's the farthest thing from the truth.
That's why I'm laughing so loud, because I wasn't expecting that to come out of your mouth. Like, yeah, I did lines of coke off of hookers. It was great.
Chances are I had too much sugar this past week.
You probably did. Yeah, I was. So Mandy had Christmas parties with.
This is my stash, by the way.
M&M's. Is that M&M's?
M&M's.
Oh, man.
Christmas, yeah,
Mandy,
M&M's.
Mandy had a Christmas party Thursday and Friday, and I'm just like in the kitchen trying to get my coffee. And I was like, this is not the good time of year to try to not eat sweets, because there's just stacks of stuff sitting on my kitchen counter that people had given her, and, you know, cookies and sweets. And then she's bringing me cake from it. The other night she brings a cake home and it's like 10 o'clock. She gives me a piece of cake with a fork. I'm like, it's 10 o'clock at night. I'm not eating this. And she's like, at least take a bite. I'm, oh,
yeah, my goal in 2024 will be to get back on the Weight Watchers regime, mm-hmm. Or not regime, schedule, practice. Because right. I don't want to be looking at photos at Rogue Fun and be like, ew, look at me.
Yeah.
I'm so disgusting. It's like people are standing next to Jabba the Hutt.
Ezra's going to be there?
Yes. It took me a second. Yes, Ezra Bridger. I'm going to be dressed up as Ezra Bridger, and I'll be like, look at me. I'm Jabba the Hutt.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, Rogue Fun is going to be like 4 months away.
Dude, so it is.
Right around the corner.
It's scary, because I'm kind of planning the trip to Huntsville to that Comic-Con, because it looks like there's going to be a pretty badass Rebels reunion.
When is that?
Huh?
When is it?
It's in April. It's April, like, 12th or something. It's the weekend before tax day. It is, I just had it up and I closed my Facebook, so I'm not paying attention to it. And now, of course, Facebook is like, what do you want to do? It's April 12th through the 14th in Huntsville's, in FBC South Hall, Huntsville, Alabama. And they've actually got some good guests coming. It's got some people from The Office. It looks like it's going to be a full Rebels reunion. They just haven't announced Tina yet. What was her name?
Sakaar.
Takaar. Huh?
Tia Sakaar.
Tia. Okay. Tia. I don't know why I want to call her Tina. Tina. Tia. They haven't announced her yet, and they haven't announced Freddie Prinze Jr. So hopefully maybe you get, they'll announce it while we're recording. So anyway, yeah. And then when we stop recording, I need to talk to you about Huntsville. So remind me when we stop recording.
I'll forget. Don't worry.
Yeah, totally. So anyway, yeah, you start planning. That's April. And so you're 4 months away from this. And then you go, oh, crap, May's next week, the month after this. So it's like you can count it on one hand.
Less than that. Yeah, it's more like a little push the thumb down a little bit action. It's like four and a half.
Yeah, it's like right there, man. It's scary how close that is. And before you know it, it'll be here. Before you know it, Jason, you will be singing karaoke to a room full of people buying toys.
Yeah. Do you have a karaoke song picked out? You're going to do Gay Bar or something, right?
Yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to figure it out.
You maybe thrive in chaos.
I thrive in chaos? Yes.
Yeah. So you're going to find something chaotic and sing it.
Yeah. I'll sing like some, whoa, let the bodies hit the floor or something. Yeah.
That's Anakin's song, apparently.
Dude, if you guys, y'all need to, I we plug these guys a lot, but Force of Course did their last episode. They did theme songs for characters, and it's pretty good. they took all the characters, like, and everybody picked a theme song for them. So I sent him one for Leia, which I thought was a very strong contender. But I, you know, we'll see if they use it. I don't think they'll use it.
Give them an example. Like, so Princess Leia, what song would represent Princess Leia best?
I like that song, I'm a Bitch, by whatever the lady's name. It's like, I'm a mother, I'm a fighter, I'm a sinner, I'm a saint. And just, it I'm feels like it just
galactic senator.
Right. It just fits Leia. You know, when you look at Leia, yes, you know, calling her a B word is not the best thing, but then it's become kind of, I guess, empowering a little bit to some women. And it fits her, you know, because she can turn that, you know, turn that on if she needs to. You know,
Meredith, like when she, Meredith Brooks sang that song.
That Meredith Brooks song. And I feel it fits Leia very well. So we'll see if they use it. Because it's like when she needed to turn the B button on, she would, you know, and take charge of things.
Yeah.
And she's a mother and a fighter and a sinner and a saint. I think it fits, at least the chorus fits Leia very well. And then, like, yeah, you said, was it Let the Bodies Hit the Floor with Anakin, or was it?
That's what you said.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That would be a good Anakin song. I forgot which other ones they did. They did, like,
Poor Younglings.
Huh?
Poor Younglings.
Yeah, yet the Younglings Hit the Floor. That would be fun. You know, it's bad when you, like, hear a podcast and you're like, I got to steal that idea. But you'd have to give them, like, but they do, yeah, they do some cool stuff like that.
Anyways.
Yeah. Anyways, it's our year in review.
Yeah.
We have no news because we reported it an hour ago.
Yeah. Well, you didn't see the news about the Sabine spinoff TV show.
No. What was
it? Sabine has her own TV show now. It's going to be 74 episodes. Broken up into 7 seasons.
And it'll be her and Ahsoka fighting Shin Hati and whoever they were in Balin.
And the Knights of Ren.
And the Knights of Ren. It'll be It'll show the start of the Knights of Ren and what happens to the mother, father, and sister.
Yeah.
And brother. Yeah.
Yeah. And the third cousin, the roommate in college, the drunk uncle. All of those characters from the Mortis trilogy.
That would be great. You know, people like us would love it, but everybody else would be like, what is this crap?
Yes. The pet. I'm sure the pet's going to play a part in it. But
the Loath Cat will show up.
Oh my God.
Actually, what will happen is they'll have to shoot a scene that Ezra shows up and, like, takes care of the Loath Cat so they can calm that down.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. You know, it'd be funny. It'd be funny as crap to see something like that in a Star Wars universe, like a buddy comedy.
Yeah. Yeah, I think anything would be fun and interesting. Yeah, something, just give us a left hook.
Yeah.
So safe. Take a swing.
Why? Yeah, let Tycho do it, because, dude, I tell you what, man, what we do in the shadows is funny as crap. Now that you just, and it's just funny stuff. I was watching the episode where one of the guys realized, here's Come On Eileen. I mean, this is happening present day, and he hears Come On Eileen for the first time. And he's like, I wrote that 100 years ago. And they're going through all the songs that he wrote 100 years ago. And it's all, like, modern stuff that people found. It's just, it's a funny show. If you like The Office and you like stuff like that, it's pretty funny.
So, you had written notes about 2023 and your thoughts about what you've picked up, places you visited, the time spent with others, and I kind of copied that. So I'm just going to follow your lead, and when you start talking about something, I'll bring it up too.
Okay. So this is our year of 2023 review. It's I just kind of, like you said, I'm just going to, you just kind of put my thoughts down.
2023 condensed into one episode instead of four.
Right. Well, we have no special guests like we did last year, which was kind of fun, but it does get it's a lot to edit when you have that many people. So I'm just going to start off with my trips. I didn't do that many this year because I am trying to save up vacation for next year as far as trips go. But we did do our Chewbacca's trip down to New Orleans in January, which is the big Mardi Gras parade, which has turned out to be our annual trip to New Orleans. So we're going to do it again. It's the week of Martin Luther King, so the week after MLK, or the Monday of MLK through that weekend this year. So we'll be down there again. And then I took my first solo trip to Disney, which I enjoyed it, and I got a lot of flack from people because they're like, you're going to Disney by yourself. Like people I work with, people I don't understand, you know, they're like, why are you going to Disney by yourself? I'm like, because it's fun. And why wouldn't I do Disney? My wife doesn't want to go.
Yeah.
You know, and I'd be dragging her around. I mean, how else would you be able to go in the park from 8 a.m. to 1 a.m.?
Right.
I couldn't do that with my wife. She'd be mad at me. You know, it would be hell the next day. And then you get up at 8 a.m. or you get up at 6 a.m. the next day to be back at the parks at 8 a.m. So I can't do that with another person.
Yeah.
When you as much fun as I enjoyed, as much as I enjoy having my family with me for those trips, taking a solo trip was that much better. I mean, you do miss the family part, but when you're by yourself, you can do whatever you want and you can hit all the single riders. And it was a fun trip. Yeah. Do you take any fun trips this year?
I took a couple. I went to Myrtle Beach. And that was weird because my two oldest didn't go. So it was just my youngest and my wife. And so it felt like the family is starting to break up.
Yeah.
It was not easy.
You are dealing with, because your daughter is what, 18, started college and stuff?
Yep. She just finished her first semester and she's already starting to think about getting her own space.
Yeah.
So I got to start dealing with birds flying the nest.
But you have your youngest.
Yeah, she'll be around for another 4 years at least. When she graduated, we went down to Disney. So I did get a Disney trip in this year, and that was a lot of fun. I had that special Indiana Jones whiskey drink with all the sand. Too much sand in the drink, which was like cinnamon and... Was it just cinnamon? Because cinnamon doesn't dissolve.
Right.
It adds flavor, but it's like... Get stuck in your teeth and
it got everywhere.
Yeah.
It's in your clothes.
It's in your clothes. Gets in your fingernails. Gets up into your underwear. It's not fun.
Yeah. So that
was fun.
Yeah. And you went to PowerCon too, right? Did you mention
PowerCon, Indianapolis? It was a great time. PowerCon was a lot of fun.
I'm very jealous of that PowerCon trip because I had the opportunity to go, but my band had a really crappy gig that Friday night, so I had to stay and play that. And I'm kind of glad that they're skipping next year for PowerCon because my vacation is pretty much eaten up next year. So I'm hoping in 2025 that we can make a trip out there because it does feel like you have the ultimate PowerCon just sounds awesome. It sounds like an awesome time and you get to meet. I like I said, with all these shows, I'm enjoying everything that happens outside of the show more than the show. And I'm learning to do that. And I think PowerCon would have just been an awesome time.
Yeah. It feels like a small, intimate show, but it's got a lot of heavy hitters. So it also feels like a big show. And I feel like you get access that you normally wouldn't get because there's just too many people at some of those bigger conventions. So it's definitely worth the time. And people are there for Masters of the Universe and Super 7. They're not there for Star Wars. And you might be able to find a red bar for $40.
Like a co-host of your favorite podcast did.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I even talked to Jordan last night. He had, he came to pick up my old laptop because he's having computer issues. And I was like, I'm letting him borrow it so he can get some stuff done. And he was like, yeah, because of your experience with PowerCon, he was thinking of doing an overnight at Joe Fest in Augusta and spending a day in Augusta and seeing the, you know, experiencing it from a different angle. And yeah, I
don't know if it's the same. I don't know if it's direct one-to-one.
I don't think Joe Fest is getting close, because they do have the super, not the super seven guys, but they have, this year, the
Mythic Legions will be there.
Mythic Legions is going to be there, which, oh my.
Four Horsemen
is going to be at Joe Fest and Toylana. I am like, my wallet's going to cry, because they sell stuff for so cheap and it's so much good. It's quality stuff. But they'll have like, the Fresh Monkey guys will be there. There's at Joe Fest, there's all kinds of other vendors that they're not necessarily selling. They're showing their stuff off, which makes it brings a different angle to things.
Yeah. At PowerCon, they have, who is this? Toy Otter. They had Long Box Heroes action figures. They did have like Rocketeer stuff, but it was based on the comic books.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a small Rocketeer collection, but the Rocket Pack is definitely different in the comic book than it is in the movie. And I prefer the movie version.
Uh-huh.
And so this was, and they also had a bunch of Rocketeer prototypes, but they're the Long Box comic book version. So I kind of was like, I'm not going to get into that. But they're really cool stuff.
I'm kind of surprised you didn't, because you're such a big Rocketeer fan that I know you also try to limit yourself to only Star Wars. So
look at the stuff behind me. No, I cannot get into something else.
Whereas me, I don't want to say I'm done with my Star Wars, because you're never really done, because something will pop your way, something will come up, but I'm not actively searching Star Wars stuff right now.
Right.
Because you've gotten into the TVC stuff, so you've got something to collect, whereas I'm more of a vintage guy, and I'm, unless I get into ships, or I find a ship, or I find something I didn't know about, or I find a sealed package, something, the little days of doing little purchases of Star Wars are almost done for me.
Yeah.
Unless I find a $40 red bar somewhere.
Good luck.
Yeah. I think you ruined that for everybody.
I'm sorry.
Not really, but not, you know what I'm, yeah.
Was I the last person to buy a $40 red bar on the planet?
No. And they're going to show up. People won't know what they have. I think some people don't realize what they have when they throw it in their $5 bins.
Mm-hmm. So those are my trips.
Well, let's talk about shows, since we've already talked about Joe Fest a little bit and kind of going that way. What have you thought about all the shows we've been to this year? Like toy shows and stuff.
I felt like, let's see, shows that I've been to. I guess we'll start with Toylana.
Yeah.
Hopefully they've made some improvements this year. I felt like it was overcrowded,
mm-hmm.
especially with having people in the hallway.
Right.
I don't think that's a good idea, but it's an enjoyable show. I could do less of the 12-inch G.I. Joes. It's like model trains. I feel like those collectors are starting to age out, and I would like to not see them hog the center of Toylanta, because it's a ghost town.
It really is.
Everyone's on the peripheral, on the outside, because that's where all the non-G.I. Joe stuff is. And so it gets crowded on the outside, and then it's very easy to walk in the middle, because a lot of that stuff is the 12-inch Joes.
Yeah, the problem with Toylana is that's how it started. It was Joelana, and it was 12-inch G.I. Joes is how that show started, and then it just progressed into something else. And they've actually split the shows off to do a Joelana and a Toylana. And Joelana was where they were supposed to send all the 12-inch G.I. Joes. And I just think it became a jumble mess of two different shows that they do twice a year, instead of being a definite breaking the show, two shows up. Because yeah, those 12-inch G.I. Joe guys run that show or rule that show. And that's part of the reason why I think they haven't found a better space with that show, is because those 12-inch G.I. Joe guys are like, no, we want to be able to stay where we're, have a hotel room where in the same building, so we don't have to drive 5 minutes between a hotel room and the show. And yeah, I think if they were to do something to where they got rid of those 12-inch G.I. Joe guys, not get rid of, but to limit the power that they have, that it would be a lot better show. And this is our hometown show. This is a show that I look forward to for the last 12 or 13 years. And it just, I don't know if it's you're once the veil comes off and you become more and more involved with something, you realize it's not all puppy dogs and rainbows.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that's the what's going on, or is it just the fact that it's
growing pains
or what? But
what it used to be versus what it's becoming or what it will become.
Yeah.
A couple of quick highlights with Toylanta before we finish and leave that. Blue Box Designs, Dan Lowe, he made custom Wilro Hood action figures for myself and Orion, and I think Lewis.
Yeah, I think Lewis too.
That was incredible. So check out Blue Box. Is it Blue Box Designs?
Yeah, I think if you look Dan Lowe or Blue Box on Instagram, you can find them pretty
easy.
That
was incredible. Seeing the Kenner guys up on stage, and that just turned into a Q&A, and it was just like us talking to Kenner guys and
yeah.
And what was your ideas behind this? What was your ideas behind that with Tom Osborne, Tim Effler, Rick Watkins, and Doug Miller?
Yeah.
That was awesome.
That was probably the highlight because you start talking to like Rick and he's like, oh yeah, I was the lead on Bill and Ted. And you're just like, what? So, you know, I was able to talk to him about my collection and he, that was his first real show that was his first show. And his daughter is the one that pushed him to go because she's like, people appreciate what you did. And he's like, no, they don't. And he got out and, you know, was able to see it. Unfortunately, he's kind of gone back into the shadows, which I wish he'd, you know, but like Tim Effler and, but it is Todd, right? Tom.
I just said it. Tom yeah. Osborne.
Those two are kind of out in the forefront. And I think it's because people are wanting him, and it stinks that he kind of just, he's not, you know, back, whatever. I wish he'd come out more, because it's fun talking to people like that. And I've got stuff. I actually have a piece with his name on it, and it'd be cool to say, look at what I've got, you know? And
yeah.
Yes, this stuff is important to people. You know, don't, you know, what you please share, because these people are, you know, they're getting older. Yeah. You know, and I think they're realizing, you know, that time is not their friend anymore. And as much as that stinks, but it's opening them up to share their stories. And it's fun to listen to those people. And it's fun to now getting into it like I am. It's fun hearing it and appreciating those stories.
And it was cool to hang out with them again at PowerCon, because yeah. I was with Rich at his booth and they had all the Kenner people right there. So it was Tom Osborne, Tim Effler, and Freddie Thoman. And we were just hanging out, talking all weekend long. So I can get into that in a minute. But the other thing I picked up from Tom Osborne was the Rocketeer Style Guide.
Nice.
So at one point, Disney had pitched to Kenner, would you like to make action figures for the Rocketeer or toys? And they passed him the style guide, and he's held on to it for, oh God, it's probably been 25, 26, 30 years since the Rocketeer came out.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's fun when stuff like that pops out, because like they did, somebody else did a pitch for Star Wars, and to see that those figures are just, it's really cool to see something that never happened, you know, or something that could have been.
Yeah.
We also first forte into Four Horsemen for me, and you at least you know see the power of the Four Horsemen. That was kind of cool.
I see the passion, not the power.
The passion. Okay.
Yeah.
Passion. There you go. Passion. That makes more sense. And what I think Hasbro can learn something from the Four Horsemen. Now Hasbro is a lot bigger than the Four Horsemen, and they can't do what the Four Horsemen do. But the fact that they're so passionate about their product and they're so loving of their fans, it was just a breath of fresh air, and you get caught up in that real easy. And you become a fan of that product just because the people are so cool. And you're like, it happens a lot where you're just like, you know what? I'm going to give you some money because I've spent an hour talking to you. And then you find out how awesome their stuff is.
Mm-hmm. We've got a lot to talk about. So let me race through a couple of the moments. PowerCon was awesome, like I had said. One of the important things I think that came out of that was that Freddie Thoman had taken his camera to Canada the day that Boba Fett walked through the halls in 1979, and he took photos, and that was the day they took the photo for the card back of the 21 card back.
Yeah.
We were able to figure out that there is a white line that comes out of Boba Fett's helmet and down around his shoulder, and that's the only part you see is this white line that kind of cuts through the shoulder. For the longest time, people thought it was a mistake and printing mistake, and it's just been replicated forever. But that day, we were able to see who was under the mask through these photos, and we were able to see that he was wearing one of those voice changers or like a headset, and it went down to a speaker. And so it was the white wire that actually that you see in the card back. So that was kind of solved this time around. The Georgia Alliance, the Star Wars Collectors Toy Show.
Yeah, I had that listed. That was awesome and exhausting at the same time.
Yeah. That plus the painting with the twist night that we did.
Oh, I forgot we did that. That was last year.
Wow. Yeah, I think that gave me the confidence that we could do this. Rogue Fun. Coordinating with all those different people and coordinating with external vendors. It's just like, oh yeah, we could do our own mini con, and guess what? We're doing it.
We're doing it. Jason, we're doing it. We're doing it. That was a fun day. And there again, you don't realize how much goes into something like that until you're in the middle of it. And then you're like, it's like we said, it's like a wedding. You do all these planning and then it's over as soon as you. So that was fun. We had Second Chance Toys helped us out with that. And I always got a shout out, David and Chance, because they're so awesome to this community in Atlanta. And they're so awesome to the club. And, you know, they welcome us with open arms anytime we need something. And they're just, it's just a cool toy shop. So if you're ever in the Marietta area, check out Second Chance Toys. They're right next in the same shopping center as Dr. No's. So if you know where Dr. No's is, a pretty big comic book store in the area. So they're in the same shopping center as them.
Yep. So that was exhausting. That was fun. We raised a lot of money for Choa. Got a lot of vendors out there to help participate. There were some challenges that went with that, which I won't mention, just because it was the dog place. So I'll mention it. It smelled like urine. So we had to go in a couple days before and do our best to clean out the smell. And I think we're pretty successful with that.
Yeah, I think we were. And you learn to deal with vendors that, you know, you get on a wait list and cancel, and it just, you learn to deal with a bunch of different people, and it just, it was just fun.
I'll tell you what I learned from that is that when we work together, we could be successful.
Right.
We're better as a team.
Yes, we are. And it was fun.
The fifth anniversary coaster set, we wrapped that up. That was good. That was a good fundraiser.
Yeah.
That helped offset some of the costs for the summer social, which was great. The summer social was a blast.
Yeah. Cause we got the probably the best part about that is you get to being friends with the Kenner guys. Tim Effler did a
panel at Jurassic Park.
Yeah. A Jurassic Park panel, a preview for something that he's working on. It's like, hey, I've got this panel I'm working on and I need to knock the rust off of it. And knock the kinks out of it. And he showed it to us, probably you got to see it with like 20, 30 people.
Yeah.
And it's cool. You realize how awesome and how, you know what I mean? The more I get into this hobby and the more you get around these people, the more you appreciate it.
Yeah.
The time that these people are willing to give you.
Oh, real quick, the 501st, I want to mention them. Thank you for coming out to the GACWC toy show.
Yeah, I forgot they came out. Yeah, 501st. 501st have been awesome to us too.
Yeah, that was the first time the club collaborated with them on something. So that was awesome and special.
That's Chris, right? That's running
Charles,
the
five. Charles.
Charles. Okay. Yeah, he's because we've had such a good experience with that, they're more open to come out for more stuff.
And we'll just leave it at that.
Yep.
Anyways, Chattanooga. Chattanooga Con was awesome. Hanging out with
Yes.
you and Susan and Sam and Hannah. Watching you
Yeah.
geek out over Harrison Dula, meeting her.
That was awesome because the con wasn't that busy and people that were there, I mean, people were there to see Vanessa, but I was able to spend like a half an hour between a couple of different times talking to her and realizing that she's a geek too, and she geeked out over stuff. And you talked to her about her meeting Ashley Eckstein and like bawling when she met, like ugly crying when she meets Ashley. And you're like, you know what? I can let some of my guard down because I didn't want to be that freaky 47-year-old guy that's geeking out over a voice actor from a TV show. But then you learn it's okay to be that, to geek out, you know, and let your guard down. So it was a fun time, like, you know, hanging out with Hannah and Sam, the people that are helping, part of the admins of the Tennessee Club, and Susan, and, you know, being able to go to lunch with them and spend another hour. Just, you know, whenever you can spend an hour over a meal with people, it brings a new level to your friendship. And it was fun to do that with those guys. But yeah, meeting Vanessa Marshall was freaking amazing. I was so happy we did that. And then I can't wait for Huntsville. I'm gonna lose my, oh, at Huntsville. I'm ready for it. This is something I've been waiting since 2017 for, to meet all those guys. And now that Rebels has wrapped up and the Ahsoka show came out, everything just means that much more. And I can't wait.
Episode 139, our Micro Galaxy Squadron episode with Max, John, and Glenn. That's got the most views on YouTube, which I'm excited about because I felt like that was a successful show,
Yes.
successful episode where we learned a lot about the process of making toys, which is always fascinating. We are a collector focused podcast, and so to have content creators, toy makers come on and talk about their process and reveal the TIE bomber for the first time and just talk about the process of making toys and then the warm reception that it got online. It just felt great to have one great successful show. Not that all shows are not successful and great,
Right.
but that one was pretty special.
Yeah, no, that was a fun show. Yeah, no, I it was a great show. It was great getting to know Max over the year. Getting to see the, you know, getting into the nitty-gritty with that toy line. And then the flip side of the coin as far as what I hate talking the bad with the good, but you got to do it. Is you learn the disappointment in a toy line this year because I was so excited for this toy line, Micro Galaxy Squadron. And I still am excited, but my excitement went from 1,000 to probably 50 with this line. I'm still hunting it. And it's still, you know, because you got to hunt, you know, I mean, that's part of being a toy collector.
Keep hope alive.
Yeah, you keep hope alive. You keep hoping that one day you're going to see that Sabine TIE fighter in a store, or you'll see something that you can maybe trade for that figure. And it's just like now when I figured out that I had a Chase and I didn't even know it because I wasn't interested in that one. I'm interested in the other one. But then you realize, oh crap, I had good luck and found the Chase. It's something to ch it's a toy line to chase, even though it frustrates the crap out of me. Because of the way that series two was handled. And that's of course the one that I want the most, which is the Sabine TIE fighter.
Of course.
So it was a, as a, you had, you learn the ups and down of being a, the ups and downs of being a toy collector. And I learned that this year. And, I mean, that whole series, it started with us finding them at Celebration in 22 and talking to them and seeing everything they were doing, and you got to watch it start from nothing and get blown up and do really good, and then the disappointment in it. So it's been an interesting journey with the Micro Galaxy Squadron, and I really hope that's a line they can turn around because it's an awesome line. And I don't know, it I enjoy the line. I still enjoy the line, no matter how much it frustrates me. It's like a bad relationship, you know, where you're just like, it's like Jan and Michael. It's like that relationship where I don't know how to describe it, you know, as much as, huh?
Contentious.
Yes. As much as I love it, it kills me at the same time.
Yeah, we need to start moving on.
Yeah.
Do you have any other top moments so we can get into the top pickups?
I got a new puppy. That was fun until he got bit by a snake. That's about my own.
He survived.
He did survive.
Copperhead.
So that was fun. I think that's it. That's the top moments. It's amazing when we get into stuff. We're like, oh man, this isn't gonna. We're not gonna be able to fill an episode, and before you know,
Remember why last year we had four different episodes because we kept talking about these things and stretched it out. It's not on purpose for stretching it out. It's just, you know, it's been 30 minutes and we've been talking about top moments. We haven't even got to the pickups yet.
Yeah.
So obviously the red bar for $40 is high on my list this year.
Right. That's an awesome pickup. You don't realize how awesome a pickup that was until you like go to Second Chance and there's a beater for $300.
Yeah. Well, the day I picked it up, there was a comparable one that was sold online for $850.
Right. And we're not talking numbers because of, you know, you're wanting to flip it or anything, or, you know, you're looking at it as a good deal. You know, you,
steal.
Yeah, it was a steal. And you even brought up to the guy brought it up to you.
Yeah.
You know, I think that might be the Chase or the variant.
He said, I know there's a variant. I don't know if that's it or not.
Yeah.
And I distinctly remember exactly what he said, because I was just like, this doesn't feel right. But when he said that, I'm like, oh, it's probably a fake.
Yeah. And it's like, dude, you know, for 5 minutes worth of Googling, you cost yourself several hundred dollars.
Yeah.
But yeah, that just because of the value you have in that pickup, I think that's the top pickup as far as everything, you know, it's just one of those stories. It's like finding a $1 prototype in a bin in Cincinnati. It's that kind of story, you know.
That's your dream right there.
That's my dream, but it's not going to happen because Everybody's doing it. Everybody looks. I think my number one pickup, because it was a check off of the list for me, because I, you know, you got, as a toy collector, you feel like you're a curator a little bit, and you want to get certain pieces of the line. As they will go down the line, you know, you want to get a wax sculpt, you want to get a wood pattern, you want to get a mold, you want to get a first shot, you want to get a hard copy. So you want to try to get those examples in your collection. And one of my goals, like, cause I've got a wood pattern and I've got hard copies and I've got first shots, but one of the goals was to find a wax sculpt. And I had the wax sculpt, alternate sculpt Bill from Bill and Ted come my way, got offered to me. So I sold one of my big purchases from the year before, which was a DT Luke, which to fund that purchase. And as much as it hurt selling that DT Luke, I know they're readily available. You just need the funds. Mm-hmm. Where getting a wax sculpt, it's a once in a lifetime, you know, mm-hmm. And it's a one of thing. So to have that in my collection is a big, it's checks off. It goes with my collection and it checks off a piece of production that I wanted to have.
Another thing that I picked up this year, I missed that cue. I picked up some original Micro Machine art. I got the Chewbacca transforming head playset, which I don't think they produce that one. I can't remember.
I don't know.
They do.
Cause I think I have it.
Earl McCarthy did a bunch of art for Galoob. He did for Masters of the Universe. Come to find out, he did like 70 different toy lines. And one of them was Micro Machines. He was a concept artist. And for Micro Machines, he would sculpt. He would draw things, and the sculptors would use those drawings as inspiration for their sculpt. I also picked up the Dash Rendar that he drew for that action figure, the minifigure. And so I was very happy to pick up some original art like that from Micro Machines.
Next, like, major purchase was, I had kind of is a double purchase because all my stuff has to do with Bill and Ted because I don't remember any like major Star Wars purchases I made. Well, no, you know what? I did get a, well, let's I'll go back. Did I get my first shot Wampa? I don't remember. I got a first shot Wampa. I think I got it this year. Yeah. First shot from the modern line. First shot Wampa. I think that came in this year. I can't remember. But yeah, because you had tagged me in one and I'm like, dude, I got one. And you're like, do you need two? And I should have because that was a good deal. That was like $200.
Yeah.
That was a steal for that piece.
The other thing I picked up, so I picked up some Japanese micro machines, which is cool. I got four of those. Those are unique packaging. But the other big thing that I picked up this year was a hard copy Action Fleet TIE Interceptor.
That was awesome.
And so I like that a lot. I mean, I like it. I love it a lot. I've talked about this before, but come to find out that the mold that they used for photography is the same mold that I have. So last night I picked up a little booklet that came with Action Fleet as they were previewing like future waves, and the TIE Interceptor was one of them. Mm-hmm. And I was like looking at, it's just so small. I was looking at the photo and looking at mine and trying to find things to say like, oh wait, this is that. And this is, you know, related to the one that I have. So this must be the photo photography model.
That,
and I,
yeah.
it's just, sorry.
No, that would be awesome. Yeah, I know. You need a magnifying glass or something on your iPhone. But yeah, I can understand, definitely understand that because I've done that with a couple of my Bill and Ted pieces where you're looking for like one mark that you could pinpoint them. And you just need one mark that you could see and boom, it's the same piece.
But it's so small now and there's little paint dings here and there. And mm-hmm. so it's been weathered just a little bit. And maybe the paint is faded and who knows how many are out there. So right. I can't say with confidence that this is the photography version, but it is pre-production. It is incredible. It's got more detail than the production version. So extremely excited to have that as part of my collection. And it's great.
Awesome. So let me go back to what I was speaking about before I remembered I got a first shot Wampa. It was a bunch of pictures of the wax sculpts of Bill and Ted pre-production used or pre-production stuff. And then a presentation board, which has our buddy Rick's name on it. So yeah, that was a kind of a combination that I got. So that was another top pickup for me.
And that's all I have. I mean,
that's it.
I mean, the Cantina I started in June of 2022. And so to be on the other end of printing that out and building it and having it come together, I think that's quite an accomplishment. So, I mean, that's the only other, quote, pickup that I have.
It's a pickup, but it's not going to be out till next year sometime. Them finally doing a HasLab Ghost after just waiting patiently for that ship to come out in more than just Lego form or Galactic Heroes form, of them coming out with a version of that ship that you can actually hold and play with, put figures in. That to me was like a major high point in the year. I remember my wife coming home as I'm watching the panel of them releasing it, and I'm just in tears. And she's like, oh my God, who died? And I'm like, no, they're releasing the Ghost.
3 years ago, I thought the Ghost would be an impossibility. I thought the time of Rebels had passed, and there's no way that Hasbro is going to go back in time and make a giant ship for content that is past its prime.
Right. Yeah, no, that was a major sticking point, I think, for that ship. And a lot of people were poo-pooing on it. They were like, yeah, that's a show from 10 years ago or 5 years ago. Why would I care about this ship? And then you realize real quick that there's a lot of people, there's enough people that care about it to make it meet all its stretch goals and even push it to make them release more figures to go with it. And that's another thing where, because that was the first HasLab that I really followed, because like you're kind of like, oh, they're doing the Sail Barge. Oh, they're doing the Razor Crest. Those weren't ships that resonated with me. But then when they did the Ghost and you're watching it and you're hearing the rumors and you're like, okay, they're going to release it. You know, you're watching all the live streams and hoping that they're going to announce it and hoping, and then, oh, we're going to, you know, they keep dragging it out. It was just another thing, like, just like the Micro Galaxy Squadron, that you're learning, you know, you're watching it from start to finish, and hopefully, mm-hmm. you know, hopefully it'd be nice to have it by Rogue Fun or the Huntsville Comic Con, but I don't think it'll happen.
No, we won't have it before Rogue Fun. That's for certain.
Yeah. So is there anything?
Huh? Yeah. Top moments. I think Ahsoka Shadow Warrior was an awesome episode with Hayden Christensen and that whole flashback thing. And then Mando season 3 came out at the start of the year. And I think that final episode was pretty cool with Moff Gideon coming back in full Mando armor.
Yeah. I keep forgetting that was this year, man.
That was this year.
Wow. Yeah, no, those two TV shows, Ahsoka and the Mando season 3 were both awesome. You know, they're Ahsoka. Gosh, you waited 5 years to see some of that stuff in Ahsoka. I wish it was received better, but I don't think you're a Star Wars fan unless you complain about something. It's getting that bad with Star Wars. Stop complaining, people. Let's just enjoy what we have. Because I think
a couple episodes we were complaining about Hasbro. So,
well, Hasbro, yeah. Well, Hasbro's doing some pretty effed up things. And we're getting ready, you know, as far as the shows go, we're not going to get a show next year, or we're not looking to get shows next year because of the strike.
Yeah, we got the Acolyte and we've got,
those aren't
Skeleton Crew
till the end of the year, right?
Acolyte should be summer.
Okay. Well, never mind then.
And, they've decided to hold Skeleton Crew until the end of the year.
Okay. Well, it'll be 6 months before we have a Star Wars show.
Right.
Star Wars.
It'll
content.
Be a while.
Yeah, so we get to watch some stuff on Disney Plus and remember what it was like.
Remember?
I've been in this fight since I've been 6 years old.
You had goals listed for next year. I think the only goal that I had was execute Rogue Fun.
Yeah, I would, I want to, I think my, as far as a collecting goal, I'd like to pick up a mold. Yeah, that's not going to happen. But it'd be fun to collect, to get a mold from something. And you know, I'd like to grow the club and the podcast. I'd like to figure out how to grow those finally, because it does feel like we've plateaued on both. And it just, aside from spending money on advertising, I don't know what else to do.
Right. I think I'm not going to focus on growing the club. This year, I'm a quality over quantity. Yeah. Not that we haven't been focusing quality, but I don't want to add the pressure of trying to grow the club. Get on board or get off.
Well, it's funny because we were talking about meetups, and we're like, let's do every other month. And in the end of the year, we've got like 4 months straight of meetups just because of the way things happened.
Yeah.
We'll see what I mean. But I think the start of the year is going to be a slow start, and then Rogue Fund's going to kick off a lot of stuff for us, hopefully.
Yeah. So I'm just focusing on Rogue Fund and making sure it's the best. People were like already talking about sequels. I'm like, no.
Your wife is one of them.
Yeah. If you start talking about sequels and you leave something on the table that's less than what you could possibly do, like, I want to invest all my energy, all my ideas, everything into this. I want to make it the best possible thing. I don't want to hold anything back.
Right. No, I'm looking forward to it, man. I think it'll be a highlight of the year, truthfully.
I hope so. I hope it's not for nothing.
Dude, I think we can have even if the programming falls on its face, just the people showing up and hanging out will make it memorable.
No, absolutely. I don't think it's going to fail.
No, I don't. That yeah.
I think that'll be fun.
Right. It'll be
very good time. Fun. Yeah, it's going to be Rogue Fun. What kind of fun are we going to have? Rogue
fun.
It's going to be fun. Rogue
yeah.
fun. I think it's going to be, you got to say it like Bond, James Bond. It's going to be fun.
Rogue fun. Awesome.
Yeah. Anything else?
I think that's it. I'm trying to, let's see. Yeah. Everything's good.
Everything's we're good. Good.
I think good, that was an awesome year. If you guys have anything you want to add to it, email us and we'll put it in our Christmas episode.
Yeah. And if you're interested in jumping on the call with us sometime in 2024, send us a message. We love, again, we love feedback and we love to make you part of the show, as I say every time. So,
you mean you actually mean that?
Yeah, we actually mean that. And it's not that. Just because we have an ass doesn't mean we don't want you on the show. It's just sometimes it's comfort level. Some people are not very comfortable talking and having recorded conversations. It's not conversations, but adding a recorded element to a conversation does tie people up and it prevents them from having a fluid conversation, I guess.
Right.
And so, yeah, if you're interested, send us an email or message us on Facebook. We would love to have you on sometime. If you're interested and you want to be part of it.
Smugglersgalaxy@gmail.com.
Thank you for listening to the Smugglers Galaxy podcast. If you could, please leave a like and a 5-star review of the show anywhere you listen to podcasts. It really helps us out and points people to our show. Follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Send us an email or message us. We love feedback and we love to make you part of the show. Our email address is smugglersgalaxy@gmail.com. Thank you to Alfonso Riviera for the Smugglers Galaxy logo. Thank you to Levi Waterhouse for the music. People who collect for the love of it. Hashtag vote with your wallet. Sabine will be on next week. Pass on what you've learned. Be a positive force in the collecting community. This is the way.
This is the way.